Local leaders, top stories, the news that matters most to you. The News Drive at 5 with host Patrick Reynolds starts now.
Welcome to the News Drive at 5 here on WSIC News Talk Radio. I am Patrick Reynolds alongside you on this Friday, March the 8th, 2024, 5:06 p.m. on the East Coast. Thank you all for tuning us in, hopefully on a safe ride home. You just heard a two-hour health block right here on WSIC News Talk every Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock. We've got a pair of pharmacists that host very good health talk shows here on WSIC. The L Show at 3 p.m. Eastern Time every Friday afternoon, hosted by Dr. Nicole Eastman, followed by Health Talk with Dr. Fred Lowry at 4 p.m. right here. So if you're looking in on your Friday afternoon, right heading into the News Drive at 5, a great two-hour health block every Friday afternoon. Join us. Get healthy and now get informed with the News Drive at 5. The top 5 at 5 stories that we are tracking for you tonight. A fire destroyed a Statesville home earlier today. An anonymous tip led to a drug bust at a local hotel. An Ohio man is arrested in Rowan County for a statutory sex offense. Lincolnton is getting a social district, and Davidson launches their new parking app. 844 Studio 4 gets you live on air with us. 844-788-3464. Big part of talk radio is listening. We'd love to hear your voice, your opinions, your thoughts on the local stories of today. 844 Studio 4, 844-788-3464. On to the news headlines tonight at the News Drive at 5. Leading off in Statesville, fire investigators in Iredell County were on the scene of a fire that destroyed a home west of Statesville earlier today. Six fire departments in Iredell and Catawba counties responded to the fire along Hickory Holler Drive. Firefighters say when they got to the home, flames were coming out of the garage and caught a car and tractor on fire. The fire spread to the rest of the home, but there were no reports of any injuries. Also in Statesville, an anonymous tip through the Iredell County Sheriff's app prompted an investigation that led to the arrest of three suspects on drug charges. On Tuesday, March the 5th, the Iredell County Sheriff's Office deputies received information about the presence of illegal drugs at the Masters Inn located on Sullivan Road in Statesville. The deputies went to the location where they met with Jacqueline Moss, Ronald Griffith, and Zachary Hartness. After speaking to the three individuals, the deputies searched the room where they were located. During the search, deputies found over 38 grams of heroin, over 10 grams of methamphetamine, and over 118 grams of marijuana. Numerous items of drug paraphernalia, $347, and a loaded pistol were also located. The three suspects were arrested and taken to the Iredell County Detention Center. Jacqueline Moss was charged with felony trafficking opium or heroin, felony possession with intent to manufacture or sell a Schedule I controlled substance, felony possession with intent to manufacture or sell methamphetamine, felony possession with intent to manufacture or sell a Schedule II controlled substance, felony maintaining a dwelling or vehicle for the sale or use of a controlled substance, and felony possession of firearm by a convicted felon. Magistrate Nicholson issued a $150,000 bond. Ronald Griffith was charged with felony trafficking, opium or heroin, felony possession with intent to manufacture or sell a Schedule I controlled substance, felony maintaining a dwelling or vehicle for the sale or use of a controlled substance, felony possession of marijuana or misdemeanor possession of a Schedule II controlled substance. Magistrate Nicholson issued a $200,000 bond. Zachary Hartness was charged with felony possession of methamphetamine and misdemeanor possession of a scheduled controlled substance. Magistrate Nicholson issued a $5,000 bond. In Rowan County, An Ohio Chick-fil-A owner drove about 6.5 hours into North Carolina to engage in sex acts with a 15-year-old. On Tuesday, March the 5th, deputies responded to a local home for reports of a breaking and entering in progress. As deputies arrived at the home, they found Stacy Austin, age 49, inside with the homeowner's 15-year-old child. Responding deputies discovered that Austin had driven to the victim's home from Belmont, Ohio, and had been communicating with the young teen on social media. Deputies said in those online conversations, Austin had tried to schedule to pick the teen up, and while he was at the victim's house, he performed sexual activities with them. Investigators located Austin's underwear in a trash can of a bathroom in a home, along with some of the teen's clothing. When questioned about the incident, Austin admitted to the sexual acts and, quote, was concerned about losing his job as owner of a Chick-fil-A in Ohio, end quote. In a statement, a Chick-fil-A spokesperson said, quote, we have a zero-tolerance policy for this type of serious conduct alleged. Stacy Austin is currently an independent franchise owner, but as the investigation and legal process continues, he will not be present in the restaurant. Austin has been charged with statutory sex offense with a child and placed in the Rowan County Detention Center without bond. In Charlotte, Charlotte medics said one of their units was involved in an early morning traffic accident with two serious injuries. The accident occurred on I-77 South near the Cindy Lane Bridge, just north of the I-85 interchange, around 1 a.m. Medics said an ambulance was traveling with a patient inside when they were struck by another vehicle. Two other ambulances came to the scene and took the injured individuals to a medical center. There is no information on whether any severe injuries were medic staff. Also in Charlotte, six people suffered minor injuries following a Cats bus wreck in Uptown Charlotte on Friday morning. Medic responded to calls regarding the crash near North Church Street and West 5th Street, where they said six people were transported to area medical centers to be treated for minor injuries. Cats later confirmed all six patients were passengers on board the bus. An initial investigation by Cats stated that a passenger vehicle was making a left turn from the middle lane, cutting off the bus when the vehicle and bus collided. The bus suffered minor damage by a rear bike rack. No word on charges at this time. This is a developing story. The News Drive at 5 will give you updates as we get more information. In Lincolnton, downtown is going to get a social district after a split board approved the decision last night. The district was approved to operate from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. Thursday through Saturday. Town leaders said they would review the district's impacts after a six-month period. The four-member city council was split on whether to approve it, with Mayor Ed Hatley breaking the tie. The district is the first for Lincoln County, but Lincolnton joins nearby cities like Hickory, Gastonia, and Huntersville with the policy. Charlotte is preparing to launch its own in the Plaza Midwood neighborhood. Lincolnton's district allows people to purchase alcohol at businesses within the district and walk outside on sidewalks. It would be bordered by Court Square, East Sycamore Street, Poplar Street, Water Street, and part of South Cedar Street. News Drive at 5 rolls on. Patrick Reynolds taking you home. We'll be right back.
We'll be back with more of the News Drive at 5 with Patrick Reynolds in just a moment on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. The News Drive at 5 continues now on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Here's your host, Patrick Reynolds.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back to the News Drive at 5. Patrick Reynolds taking you home on this Friday, March the 8th, 2024 at 5:18 p.m. Eastern Time. Thanks for tuning in to WSIC News Talk Radio. 844-STUDIO-4, 844-788-3464. Get you live on air with us. Had Super Tuesday earlier this week. Maybe some of your thoughts are kind of settling in on how the election went and looking forward to November. State of the Union last night. Love to hear your thoughts on that. 844-STUDIO-4, 844-788-3464. Following up on our story with the Lincolnton Social District, a few more details to add to that story. While there was heavy citizen opposition to the public hearing for the social district, business owners who spoke about it were all in favor. Lincoln County's state representative Jason Sain was a sponsor of the state bill to allow them in North Carolina, the social districts that was. Sain is also a program host here on WSIC News Talk. Melanie Slem has joined the staff at Iredell Health Systems as an assistant vice president of human resources. Slem received her undergraduate degree in management and earned her Master of Business Administration from Florida Tech. Her extensive professional experience in healthcare human relations spans 34 years, with role at various healthcare institutions across the East Coast. She is a senior certified professional from the Society for Human Resource Management. As an assistant vice president of human resources, Slem will be responsible for collaborating with staff leaders and administration to address human resource needs and develop initiatives that enhance employee satisfaction and organizational success. The Iredell County Community Foundation is currently accepting applications for its 2024 grant program. Eligible applicants include 501c3 nonprofit organizations, congregations, governmental, and educational institutions. Priority will be given to requests for projects and programs that address education, mental health, human services, veterans affairs, and workforce development. All projects or programs must serve residents of Iredell County. The foundation will prioritize proposals requesting one-time funding to initiate projects and programs that will consider grant requests, enabling the grantee to seek support from other funders. The most competitive proposals will clearly demonstrate collaboration and partnership with other organizations to increase impact and identify how funding will be sustained in future years. Award amounts will be determined based on the merits of the project and the foundation's available funds. The foundation generally grants awards up to $10,000, but for exceptional applications that would be impactful to residents of Iredell County, the foundation will consider larger requests. Completed applications must be submitted online by noon Friday, March the 29th. The online grant application closes at 12 p.m. and will not accept late submissions. Please contact Alex Wiltberger with questions about the application process. The Iredell County Public Library has been selected to host the Smithsonian exhibit, Voices and Votes, Democracy in America. Voices and Votes is based on a major exhibition currently on display at the Smithsonian's National Museum of American History called American Democracy, A Great Leap of Faith. Content development for Voices and Votes was led by Harry Rubenstein, Curator Emeritus of the Division of Political History at the National Museum of American History. Voices and Votes has many features, such as historical and contemporary photos, educational and archival video, engaging multimedia interactives with short games and additional footage, photos, and information, and historical objects like campaign souvenirs, voter memorabilia, and protest material. The exhibit will be on display at the Statesville Branch Library from April 17th to May 28th. In Cornelius, the Newsmakers Breakfast coming up March the 12th at the Peninsula Club, that's this coming Tuesday, will feature Bill Leonard, the executive behind the new Atrium Hospital that is coming to the former Augusta Lee site in Cornelius. The hospital, originally valued at $153 million, now represents a significantly larger investment in the community. Leonard will take questions directly from the audience. The 170,000-square-foot hospital and an adjacent 72,000-square-foot office building will bring an estimated 280 jobs to Cornelius, not to mention more access to health care. The second phase of construction will add 122,000 square feet to the hospital building. The Newsmaker's Breakfast is an open forum Q&A with people who make the news. Anyone in the audience can ask a question. The cost to attend is $16, which includes a full country breakfast at the Peninsula Club. Doors open at 7:15 for networking. The buffet-style breakfast gets underway at 7:30 a.m. The Q&A begins at 8 a.m. and concludes promptly at 9 a.m. That is this coming Tuesday, March the 12th, at the Peninsula Club in Cornelius. The town of Davidson has launched a new parking app called Park Davidson to assist visitors and residents with locating available parking in town. This responsive transportation solution is a direct result of citizen input from the downtown small area plan. One of the identified top priorities was to develop a parking app to assist with finding available downtown parking. Town staff, in partnership with ParkNav, developed the app to ensure it suited the needs specific to the Davidson community. The app utilizes real-time data and predictive analytics to show available parking in designated areas of downtown Davidson. It will provide turn-by-turn directions to available parking spaces. Downtown Davidson is a pedestrian safety zone, and Park Davidson users should remain mindful of their surroundings just as they would when using other transportation-related apps. Of the new app's launch, town manager Jamie Justice had this to say, quote, "The new Park Davidson app is an initiative-taking approach to achieving the board's short-term action items in Davidson's downtown small area plan regarding parking improvements. I think it's a great addition to the resources the town provides its residents and visitors alike," end quote. The intentional thing of the app's launch is in advance of the Town of Davidson's Spring Concert Series, which begins in April, and the implementation of Davidson's new social districts being announced soon. Economic Development Director Kim Fleming said, quote, "We are hopeful this will be a helpful resource for our business owners and their customers, as well as local Davidson residents in search of a place to park in town throughout the year, especially during some of our peak event seasons," end quote. The Park Davidson app is now available for download for iPhone and Androids at no cost to the public. For additional information about the Park Davidson app, visit townofdavidson.org. Or to download the app directly, click the logo on the Town of Davidson's homepage. A little bit more from Davidson. Archery is back in the Town of Davidson, and it's taking place out at Fisher Farm. You can visit during open hours or take a class and can check out their newly added range reservations. To learn more about the Archer Range, register for upcoming programs or make a reservation at the range. Some big news coming this weekend. It is time to set your clocks ahead 1 hour on Saturday night. March 8th, the daylight saving time begins on Sunday, March the 10th. This is now Friday, March the 8th. It will give us longer, sunnier evenings until November the 3rd. An hour of daylight moves from the morning to the evening, so it could likely be dark when you rise on Monday. There's simply the old adage, spring forward, fall back. In the United States, daylight saving time was first used in 1918 when a bill introduced the idea of a seasonal time shift. The idea was to save energy during wartime. It lasted 7 months before the bill was repealed. During World War II, President Franklin Roosevelt reestablished the idea of daylight saving time. It was called wartime. So be extra careful on the roads on Monday. If you're an early commuter, it will still be dark. Sunrise Saturday will occur at 6:42 a.m. On Monday, it will be 7:40 a.m. It's also a great time to check your smoke alarms and replace the batteries if needed. Smoke alarms should be on every level of your home, including inside and outside bedrooms and sleeping areas. the official daylight savings time actually starts, the official mark, 2 a.m. on Sunday. Also alongside me here is producer Joe of The Scoreboard. You, any sports this weekend that these, you know, daylight savings time would impact going forward? You talk about the baseball season starting up. This must be probably a benefit to them as they go forward.
Definitely is. They'll have more day games at night, so.
Yeah, after school.
Sunshine when it's nighttime out, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, after school, the games will begin.
Yes.
You're going to get into that more on The Scoreboard following the news drive at 5, but I'm thinking those games starting after school must be a big benefit to them. Less lights, more natural light with sunlight should be a big boon to them. Coaches, players, and let's call it what it is, definitely moms and dads will be happy with that. A little bit more sunlight, a little less artificial light there. WSIC News Talk News Drive at 5 continues on. Patrick Reynolds here taking you home. We'll be back right after this.
Keep it here. We'll be back with more of the News Drive at 5 with Patrick straight ahead on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Call 844-STUDIO-4 now to join in the conversation on the News Drive at 5 with Patrick Reynolds on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
Welcome back to the News Drive at 5 here on WSIC News Talk Radio. I am Patrick Reynolds along with you on this Friday, March the 8th, 2024, or as a good morning LKN would say, Fri-yay, March 8th, 2024. We are at 5:35 p.m. Eastern Time, 844-STUDIO-4, 844-788-3464. Get you right into the studio. We can chat on air with whatever's on your mind with the local news. Back to the News Drive at 5 headlines and recapping our top story tonight here in Statesville. Fire investigators in Iredell County were on the scene of a fire that destroyed a home west of Statesville earlier today. 6 fire departments in Iredell and Catawba counties responded to the fire along Hickory Holler Drive. Firefighters say when they got to the home, flames were coming out of the garage and caught a car and tractor on fire. The fire spread to the rest of the home, but there were no reports of any injuries. Also in Statesville, an anonymous tip through the Iredell County Sheriff's app prompted an investigation that led to the arrest of 3 suspects on drug charges. On Tuesday, March the 5th, the Iredell County Sheriff's Office deputies received information about the presence of illegal drugs at the Masters Inn located on Sullivan Road in Statesville. The deputies went to the location where they met with Jacqueline Moss, Ronald Griffith, and Zachary Hartness. After speaking to the 3 individuals, the deputies searched the room where they were located. During the search, deputies found over 38 grams of heroin, over 10 grams of methamphetamine, and over 118 grams of marijuana. Numerous items of drug paraphernalia, $347, and a loaded pistol were also located. The 3 suspects were arrested and taken to the Iredell County Detention Center. Jacqueline Moore was charged with felony trafficking opium or heroin, felony possession with intent to manufacture or sell a Schedule I controlled substance, felony possession with intent to manufacture or sell methamphetamine, felony possession with intent to manufacture or sell a Schedule II controlled substance, felony maintaining a dwelling or vehicle for the sale or use of a controlled substance, and felony possession of firearm by a convicted felon. Magistrate Nicholson issued a $150,000 bond. Ronald Griffith was charged with felony trafficking, opium or heroin, felony possession with intent to manufacture or sell a Schedule I controlled substance, felony maintaining a dwelling or vehicle for the sale or use of a controlled substance, felony possession of marijuana, and misdemeanor possession of a Schedule II controlled substance. Magistrate Nicholson issued a $200,000 bond. Zachary Hartness was charged with felony possession of methamphetamine and misdemeanor possession of a scheduled controlled substance. Magistrate Nicholson issued a $5,000 bond. In Rowan County, an Ohio Chick-fil-A owner drove 6.5 hours into North Carolina to engage in sex acts with a 15-year-old. On Tuesday, March the 5th, deputies responded to a local home for reports of a breaking and entering in progress. As deputies arrived at the home, they found Stacy Austin, age 49, inside with a homeowner's 15-year-old child. Responding deputies discovered that Austin had driven to the victim's home from Belmont, Ohio, and had been communicating with the young teen on social media. Deputies said in those online conversations, Austin had tried to schedule to pick the teen up while he was at the victim's home. He performed sexual activities with them. Investigators located Austin's underwear in a trash can of a bathroom in the home, along with some of the teen's clothing. When questioned about the incident, Austin admitted to the sexual acts and, quote, was concerned about losing his job as owner of a Chick-fil-A in Ohio, end quote. In a statement, a Chick-fil-A spokesperson said, quote, we have a zero tolerance policy for this type of serious conduct alleged. Stacy Austin is currently an independent franchise owner, but as the investigation and legal process continues, he will not be present in the restaurant, end quote. Austin has been charged with statutory sex offense with a child and placed in the Rowan County Detention Center without bond. In Charlotte medics said one of their units was involved in an early morning traffic accident with two serious injuries. The accident occurred on I-77 South near the Cindy Lane Bridge, just north of the I-85 interchange around 1 a.m. Medics said an ambulance was traveling with a patient inside when they were struck by another vehicle. Two other ambulances came to the scene and took the injured individuals to a medical center. There is no information on whether any severe injuries were medic staff. Also in Charlotte, six people suffering minor injuries following a Cats bus wreck in uptown Charlotte on Friday morning. Medic responded to calls regarding the crash near North Church Street and West 5th Street, where they said six people were transported to area medical centers to be treated for minor injuries. Cats later confirmed all six patients were passengers on board the bus. An initial investigation by Cats stated that a passenger vehicle was making a left turn from the middle lane, cutting off the bus when the vehicle and bus collided. The bus suffered minor damage by a rear bike rack. No word on charges at this time. This is a developing story. The News Drive at 5 here on WSIC will have updates as they come into the newsroom. In Lincolnton, downtown is getting a social district after a split board approved the decision last night. The district was approved to operate from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. Thursday through Saturday. Town leaders said they would review the district's impact after a six-month period. The four-member city council was split on whether to approve it, with Mayor Ed Hatley breaking the tie. The district is the first for Lincoln County, but Lincolnton joins nearby cities like Hickory, Gastonia, Cornelius, Mooresville, and Huntersville with the policy. Charlotte is preparing to launch its own in the Plaza Midwood neighborhood. Lincolnton's district allows people to purchase alcohol at businesses within the district and walk outside on sidewalks. The area will be bordered by Court Square, East Sycamore Street, Poplar Street, Water Street, and part of South Cedar Street. While there was heavy citizen opposition at the public hearing, business owners who spoke were all in favor. Lincoln County State Representative Jason Sain was a sponsor of the state bill to allow them in North Carolina. Sain is also a program host here on WSIC News Talk Radio. Melanie Slem has joined the staff at Iredale Health System as Assistant Vice President of Human Resources. Slem received her undergraduate degree in management and earned her Master of Business Administration from Florida Tech. Her extensive professional experience in healthcare human resources spans 34 years, with roles at various healthcare institutions across the East Coast. She is a senior certified professional from the Society for Human Resource Management. As the Assistant Vice President of Human Resources, Slem will be responsible for collaborating with staff, leaders, and administration to address human resource needs and develop initiatives that enhance employee satisfaction and organizational success. The Iredell County Community Foundation is currently accepting applications for its 2024 grant program. Eligible applicants include 501c3 nonprofit organizations, congregations, governmental, and educational institutions. Priority will be given to requests for projects and programs that address education, mental health, human services, veterans affairs, and workforce development. All projects or programs must serve residents of Iredell County. News Drive at 5 here on WSIC News Talk rolls on with your local headlines, wrapping up your Friday afternoon on March the 8th. Patrick Reynolds taking you home. We'll be right back.
The News Drive at 5 will be back shortly on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC. Local starts here. It's the News Drive at 5 with Patrick Reynolds on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC. Local starts here.
Welcome back to the News Drive at 5. Patrick Reynolds here on WSIC News Talk on your Friday, March 8th, 2024, 5:48 p.m. Eastern Time, 844-STUDIO-4, 844-788-3464. We welcome your voice here on air at WSIC News Talk. Continuing on with your local headlines here on WSIC, the Iredell County Public Library has been selected to host the Smithsonian exhibit, Voices and Votes, Democracy in America. Voices and Votes is based on a major exhibition currently on display at the Smithsonian's National Museum of American History called American Democracy, A Great Leap of Faith. Content development for Voices and Votes was led by Harry Rubenstein, Curator Emeritus in the Division of Political History at the National Museum of American History. Voices and Votes has many features, such as historical and contemporary photos, educational and archival video, engaging multimedia interactives with short games and additional footage, photos and information, and historical objects like campaign souvenirs, voter memorabilia, and protest material. The exhibit will be on display at the Statesville Branch Library from April 17th to May 28th. In Cornelius, the Newsmakers Breakfast March the 12th at the Peninsula Club will feature Bill Leonard, the executive behind the new Atrium Hospital that is coming to the former Augusta Lee site in Cornelius. The hospital, originally valued at $153 million, now represents a significantly larger investment in the community. Leonard will take questions directly from the audience. The 170,000-square-foot hospital and an adjacent 72,000-square-foot office building will bring an estimated 280 jobs to Cornelius, not to mention more access to healthcare. The second phase of construction will add 122,000 square feet to the hospital building. The Newsmakers Breakfast is an open forum Q&A with people who make the news. Anyone in the audience can ask a question. The cost to attend is $16, which includes a full country breakfast at the Peninsula Club. Doors open 7:15 a.m. for networking. The buffet-style breakfast gets underway at 7:30 a.m. The Q&A begins at 8 a.m. and concludes promptly at 9 a.m. This is Tuesday at the Peninsula Club in Cornelius. The town of Davidson has launched a new parking app called Park Davidson to assist visitors and residents with locating available parking in town. The responsive transportation solution is a direct result of citizen input from the downtown small area plan. One of the identified top priorities was to develop a parking app to assist with finding available downtown parking. Town staff, in partnership with ParkNav, developed the app to ensure it suited the needs specific to the Davidson community. The app utilizes real-time data and predictive analytics to show available parking in designated areas of downtown Davidson. It will provide turn-by-turn directions to available parking spaces. Downtown Davidson is a pedestrian safety zone, and Park Davidson users should remain mindful of their surroundings just as they would when using other transportation-related apps. Of the new app's launch, town manager Jamie Justice had this to say, quote, "The new Park Davidson app is an initiative-taking approach to achieving the board's short-term action items in Davidson's downtown small area plan regarding parking improvements. I think it's a great addition to the resource the town provides to residents and visitors alike," end quote. The intentional timing of the app's launch is in advance of the Town of Davidson's Spring Concert Series, which begins in April, and the implementation of Davidson's new social districts being announced soon. Economic Development Director Kim Fleming said, quote, "We are hopeful this will be a helpful resource for other business owners and their customers, as well as local Davidson residents in search of a place to park in town throughout the year, especially during some of our peak event seasons," end quote. The Park Davidson app is now available for download for iPhone and Androids at no cost to the public. For additional information about the Park Davidson app, visit townofdavidson.org. Or to download the app directly, click the logo on the Town of Davidson's homepage. A little bit more from Davidson. Archery is back in the town at Fisher Farm. You can visit during open hours or take a class, and be sure to check out the newly added range reservations. To learn more about the Archer Range, register for upcoming programs, or make a reservation, visit their webpage. As we said earlier, big night Saturday night as we set our clocks ahead 1 hour. Daylight saving time begins Sunday, March the 10th. That will give us longer, sunnier evenings until November the 3rd. An hour of daylight moves from the morning to the evening, so it'll likely be dark when we all rise on Monday. Quick way to remember it, spring forward and fall back. In the United States, daylight saving time was first used in 1918 when a bill introduced the idea of a seasonal time shift. The idea was to save energy during wartime. It lasted 7 months before the bill was repealed. During World War II, President Franklin Roosevelt reestablished the idea of a daylight saving time. It was called wartime. So be extra careful on all the roads on Monday. If you are an early commuter, it may still be dark. For a little comparison, sunrise Saturday will occur at 6:42 a.m. Sunrise on Monday will be at 7:40 a.m. Daylight saving time officially starts at 2 a.m. on Sunday. Also, a smart safety reminder, great time to check your smoke alarms and replace the batteries if needed. Smoke alarms, well, they should be on every level of your home, including inside and outside bedrooms and sleeping areas. We're going to close out this Friday, March the 8th, bringing the news drive at 5 to a close in a few minutes. And after us, as always, every weeknight here on WSIC News Talk is The Scoreboard with Joe Berg, who is in studio right now with me. Buddy, how are you doing this afternoon? How's your Friday?
Wonderful. It is Friday, isn't it?
It is Friday. You happy
Wonderful
about that?
Day. Absolutely.
Heading towards a big sports weekend here.
Big sports weekend, big sports day today.
Yeah.
Big weekend for WSIC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell us all about it. Well, let's start with the scoreboard. That's okay. Your show. That's your baby. What do you got coming up for us?
Well, today we have quite a bit going on.
Yeah.
Earlier today we had the NHL trade deadline. Took place at 3 o'clock. No more trading. Hands up. And later tonight, high school playoff basketball, men's at 7, women's at 6. We'll have all of that previewed right here on the scoreboard.
You teased the NHL trade deadline coming up. You teased it last night for today's deadline. Now, you don't have to tell us what, but you must have some pretty good juice on the trades that are being
performed
today.
In the week before the deadline, meaning from Friday to Friday,
right.
There were 42 trades in the NHL.
Lot. That's a ton of trades.
That is a lot.
That's a lot.
It's more than any other sport.
Mm-hmm. So you also teased a big weekend here at WSIC.
Yeah.
My goodness. What's
the
going on,
man? The studio's changing.
Everything's
going to be different.
This will be the last time I will face this direction in
yes.
the studio.
It's going to be weird.
You and I are going to be in separate rooms and facing different directions. A lot of construction here.
You know, you got me sick that one time, and I said, it has to change.
I got you sick. You know... No.
Uh-oh.
Yes, this is a news show, so I'm reporting the facts. That would be incorrect, sir.
Did I get that backwards?
Yes, correct. You came in here. I'm blaming you when I was sick a few months ago or weeks or whatever it was. Yeah,
I'll take the fall.
That's fine.
We're still here.
Yeah. So weekend, always heavy on sports compared to the weekdays. What are you most excited about coming up this weekend for sports action?
I'm going to have to stick with NASCAR for the weekend.
All right.
I would be excited for Formula One, but... It's Formula Max Verstappen.
Yeah.
And, you know, IndyCar. Talk to me about IndyCar a little later in the year.
Right.
A little later in the year.
I want to talk IndyCar now.
We can talk IndyCar. What do you think about IndyCar racing?
I love IndyCar racing. For starters, they go green to checkered without a coffee break, two coffee breaks in the middle. They decide a championship legitimately still. And they are the home series to the biggest race in the world. There is nothing like the Indianapolis 500.
In the world?
Yes.
You think?
Yes. There's no...
24 hours of Le Mans?
It's bigger.
You think?
Yes.
Monaco?
There's no debate. Yes. Indy 500 is bigger. Yeah.
Okay.
No debate.
Maybe bigger in terms of the amount of people that show up.
Bigger. any measurement, the Indy 500 is the biggest race
okay.
in the world. Any measurement you want. I will die on this hill.
Okay.
For the Indy 500. So... Indy opener at St. Petersburg, Formula One Saudi Arabia, NHRA opens in Gainesville, Florida as well, and the NASCAR National Series are in Phoenix, Arizona. Not the trucks, though. We got Cup and Xfinity.
No trucks. We got ARCA as well.
ARCA as well, regional.
ARCA as well. ARCA tonight, actually.
Actually, Friday night, yeah. There's not like a Friday night ARCA. Okay. So I know you're riveted on my picks. I picked Kyle Larson for Phoenix for the Cup race.
As did I.
Two in a row. We're both on there. Formula One, is that even a serious question?
No.
No. I will take Antoine Brown as the top fuel winner in Gainesville, and I'm picking Pato O'Ward to win the IndyCar season opener St. Petersburg. We'll see how I did on Monday. I'll check back with you.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah, so we got playoffs coming up tonight in high school basketball.
High school basketball playoffs. Winners move on to the Final Four.
March Madness coming soon. It's great playoffs in high school, too. It's exciting time. You don't want to miss the scoreboard. Weeknights, 6 p.m. here, WSIC. News Drive at 5, Patrick Reynolds saying goodnight. We will talk to you on Monday. Have a good weekend, everybody.
Serving you better than ever before. 105.9 100.7 WSIC, Statesville, Morrisville, North Charlotte.